What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have when it comes to their dog's diet?
Well, I think it's become, just like you say, reflecting human nutrition, it's become increasingly complicated. It seems that every week there's a new recommendation or a new product and that sort of thing. And so what I like to say is let's start at the very basics. Let's look at the fundamental nutrition that your animal needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's take the simplest path, because we all know that the simplest path is the one that we're going to stick to. If we make it too complicated, it just doesn't last.
It'll last a week and then we'll be back to drive-through McDonald's. So,
is
good.
Yeah, and there's some really great products out there now that do that. The aim is to make it simple and straightforward, products like Purina Beyond, you know, where it's limited ingredients and you look at the back of the pack and you think, oh, these are things I'm familiar with. Mm. These are things that I would eat myself. And you feel a lot more comfortable then about feeding them to your dog.
Mm, absolutely. Now, we know we aren't supposed to feed dogs things like chocolate, but are there some like big no-nos that we should be avoiding for our four-legged family members?
There are some really big no-nos, Jess, because it's not just about taste preferences and that sort of thing, but some of the things that we eat every day are actually highly toxic to dogs. For example, I was talking to a friend who has had dogs all her life the other day, and she was giving her dog some leftovers. And I said, Chelsea, what are you doing? And she said, oh, you know, always give the leftovers. And it was filled with onion. And she had no idea that onion is highly toxic to dogs. It actually causes destruction of red blood cells.
Oh, my gosh.
And it can be fatal if you have a small dog and you feed, you know, say after a barbecue, there's a pile of barbecued onions. If you feed that to your dog, I've actually seen dogs come very close to death as a result of that.
Good grief.
And there's some other sort of common foods that we might not think are an issue, but are. So, for example, macadamia nuts. Can be toxic. As you said, chocolate. Most people know about chocolate. Things like sultanas and grapes. Some dogs have quite an acute reaction to those. So, and the big one that people just don't realise is cooked bones.
Okay. See, now this has always been something that I've argued with people about for years and years and years, because so many people say it's fine to give them the lamb bone after you've eaten a roast. But why is it dangerous for dogs to eat cooked bones?
Yeah. And, you know, I've had that same conversation just so many times at so many barbecues. Oh, please. And I think the thing is, a lot of the time the dog will be fine. There's no issue. But the fact is, I get to see the ones with the issues, and it ain't pretty.
Mm.
So what happens a lot of the time, Jess, is that those bones, because they're sort of dried out once they're cooked, they can get ground up like cement, and then that cement has to set somewhere, and it usually sets in the colon, and it's really, really unpleasant for everyone involved. It's awful for the dog. It's particularly awful for the vet dealing with it.
I can imagine.
So I say be kind to your dog and your vet and just don't feed cooked bones.
No, raw bones are fine though. Give them all the raw bones you want. Have fun.
Yeah, well, raw bones are a bit of a contentious issue at the moment too.
Okay.
There's a few studies that where animals have gotten some toxicity from raw bones.
Oh.
And I think I definitely don't think they're an absolute no-no, but I think it is one that you should discuss with your vet, who knows your dog best, because and there's certainly, you know, my own dog, I certainly feed raw bones too, but I do think it's one that you need to be professionally guided on, because it does depend on your individual animal.
All right. Well, Polly and I are going to have a sit down and talk about her chicken neck intake. That's what we're going to have to do tonight. Now, when we think about health and we think about wellness and this kind of real resurgence people have had really caring about their health and wellness, their dog's health and wellness, you think of things like kale and quinoa and other superfoods. Are there any like doggy superfood equivalents, things that are really, really good for dogs?
Look, I don't think so. And I think the issue is with a lot of these superfoods, when you look at the research, the amount you actually have to consume of the product
is insane
to really get the benefit from the, you know, micronutrition that it provides, makes it kind of untenable in a lot of occasions. Mm. So I don't think there's true superfoods, but it does come back to as I say, being aware of their requirements for, you know, protein and good fats and carbohydrates, and making sure you're providing those in the right proportion.
Absolutely.
And I mean, if you've got all the time in the world, you know, it would be fine to create a home cooked diet. But the issue is with that is that it's actually really, really hard to put all of those things in the correct balance reliably every day to provide your dog with the nutrition that it needs. And so that's why I think for most people, a commercial diet is just an easy way to go. So the main proportion of the diet is made up of a commercial food. I do think that that's probably the easiest and most straightforward way
to go. And the safest too. They've done research. They know what's going on. Like, they've done the hard work for you. going to be easy.
Yeah, that's right. I think that you know, if you do choose a food by a reputable company, there is, generally speaking, a lot of research and development behind those products. And they're, you know, they're staking their brand name on the performance of those products. So, you know, there is an implied reliability with those foods.
Absolutely. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, I'm so curious to know, again, a big conversation piece that I've had with a lot of fellow dog lovers is whether or not a dog's breed should affect their diet. Something that doesn't necessarily affect me because I don't know what my dog's breed is. She's just Polly. That's what she is. She's a mutt. She's a rescue. But a lot of people have very specific diets that they think their dog adheres to because they're a beagle or they're a Labrador. And I'm so curious to know whether or not that actually does play a part.
Yeah. Well, I think unless you have specifically got a purebred dog, for example, then there might be certain behavioural traits associated with them. For example, a border collie tends to be very active and need a lot of exercise. And a dog like that might need a food for an active dog that's got a higher kilojoule content. But in terms of a beagle needing more salmon or a Labrador needing more, you know, quinoa, as you suggested before, you know, a dog is a dog and their nutritional needs are the same across all canines. Having said that, Labradors do tend to be quite prone to overeating on just about anything.
So I
would say, again, you know, if you are choosing a reputable brand, be guided by the feeding guide on the back, and then use that to be an indication of how much you should be feeding your dog, and then be aware of how to judge your dog's body shape as an indication of wellness. I think we've become accustomed to seeing our dogs being overweight, and I think we've lost a bit of our ability to judge what's a healthy weight range.
Yeah, no, I'm totally guilty of that. My dog looks like an olive on sticks.
So
I need to step it up.
A bit more of a chat, Jess.
I need to step it up, Dr. Simone. We'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.